News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting, like, you know, away from our AM, FM capabilities here at WVNN, which pretty much means you're not in North Alabama anymore. You know, that's kind of where we got a broad scale, AM and FM, even South Tennessee. But if you find yourself getting outside the range and want to hear the show, just know this. You can go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why this audience is so wide. And I'm assuming, too, that's partly how our podcast gets picked up. Podcasts are just, like, blowing me out of the water here. Like, we're pushing 37,000 downloads already, and I just, you know, we haven't even been going on now but 10 months. So thank you. I have a sign. I've said it many times. I haven't said it in a while, but I'll just tell you, I have a little thing right here above my desk that says it's an honor to have this platform, and it absolutely is. It is an honor to have this platform. It's an opportunity every single day to get on here and not only remind, you know, others, but remind myself, really, how much I love living here, and I want the best for the state. I was in a meeting this morning where we were talking about that very thing, about the fact that the goal of what we're doing is literally to make sure that the future, the culture of the future, is impacted in a positive way, that we have some kind of means of speaking into it, and this platform is one of those means. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, this audience has responded, because in my opinion, there's a lot of folks out there that are hungry for the good news, if you know what I mean. Hungry for the opportunity to hear someone who lives in the area, who knows the streets you drive on, to say, you know what, it's still okay to say things like Jesus is Lord and America is great and Alabama is beautiful and life is worth living. If this show has a mission, there it is. There it is. But all that is for naught if we didn't have an audience like y'all. So thank you for what you do, and thanks for being a part of it. I'm sitting here looking at some news, by the way. I'm going to be getting to the Triple Dipper here after the next break, but I will tell you this. There are some breaking news stories coming out. New sanctions in the Ukrainian-Russian war. New U.S. sanctions. One of the things that's being done right now is there are new sanctions being placed on Putin's family personally. Apparently, he has the oligarch has daughters that live large, and they just got their checking accounts, cacheted, I guess. So there's that. We're now starting to hit the Putin family personally. There's one thing. Other is the Pentagon just gave a briefing a little while ago and said that we are supplying upwards of 100 of the Switchblade drones to Ukraine. Those have been apparently very effective thus far. And I'm not totally familiar. Now, there's different versions of drones, but the Switchblade drone, as I understand it, is actually a fire and forget. You fly it to the target, but the drone itself is the munition, and it basically kamikazes into the armored vehicle with an armor-penetrating force. So, Switchblade drones, yes, we are providing those, and more javelins and more stingers. Remember this, too, by the way, the interesting, you know, factoid is that a lot of those javelin missiles are made right here in Troy, Alabama, at the Lockheed Martin plant. That's pretty cool. They actually go over there. I saw a picture of them the other day. They go over there, and they actually have a stamp on them that says Made in Troy, Alabama. Love that. Hello, Mr. Putin, Made in Troy, Alabama. Other things that are happening right now, we are seeing increased signs of war crimes against the Ukrainian people by Russian forces. And I will say, you know, I talked about it at length yesterday. I did an entire segment on this. This is an organized effort. This is not the occasional rogue unit getting out of hand and the moment getting away from them and creating some isolated atrocity. What I talked about yesterday was largely discussing what's happening in a town called Bucha, which is to the west, I believe, of Kyiv. Today, we're hearing reports of Russian crematories being set up in Mariupol to burn bodies. I mean, it's everywhere. Meanwhile, President Biden gave a speech a little while ago to a union organization. I'm not sure who it was, but he's basically, you know, he's catering to his base. So he was speaking to the union folks, you know, in the middle of it all. He says, "We're going to stand by Ukraine," which I'm glad to hear him say. And then he says, just to try and, you know, grab that moment of identification with the audience, he goes, "And if I have to go to war, I want to go with you guys." Okay, he was talking to the union. He wasn't talking to the military, but nonetheless, you know, they took it to heart because that's their guy. He gets them what they want. And so, yeah, President Biden joking about potential U.S. military involvement in Putin's war. Not where we want to be. Do I want to see them supplied and you know, up-funded? Yep, I do. Do I want to see Russia lose? Yep, sure do. I don't want to see U.S. forces on Ukrainian soil. I believe that would not be in our best interest at this point. What's the red line, though? Where does it end? What is there a red line? I don't know, because what I will say is the Biden administration is so risk-averse right now that they won't even, you know, they won't even consider the possibility, because everything to them is fearful of provoking Putin. I got news. Putin's already provoked, y'all. He's already provoked. All right, that war is going on right now. And we'll cover it more as we go. One of the biggest stories, I believe, of the decade, if not the biggest story of the decade, the war in Ukraine. All right, coming up next, Alabama and Bidenomics. We'll talk about it. Number one on the Triple Dipper, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You hang tight. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, we like to say around here. Hey, listen, the first part of the Triple Dipper here, I'm focused on economics, all right? By the way, economics ain't boring, that's your wallet, y'all. And so I'm just saying, if you're looking at where things are right now compared to where they were a year and several months ago, night and day. I mean, how in the world did we get to the point that we have inflation at a 40-year high? How did we get there in 1 year? Oh, it was COVID. COVID did it. Yeah, COVID may have had an impact, certainly. It was Russia. Putin did it. No, you know, that's only been the last 5 weeks. No, it was a complete onslaught. An attack, an onslaught, if you will, of liberal policies that are canvassing upon our economy. Now, there's things that are happening to fight back. Saw a very interesting story last night. Had to drop this into the stack and make sure I had it. Dated yesterday, actually 2 days ago. Did you know that Mississippi, immediately to our west, Mississippi's governor just signed the state's largest income tax cut? What? Yes. I mean, I'm not even... there's no fooling here. This is a major income tax cut in the history of the state of Mississippi, the biggest income tax cut ever. It says Mississippi residents, according to AP News, Mississippi residents will pay lower income taxes in the coming years as the state enacts its largest ever tax cut. Republican Governor Tate Reeves on Tuesday signed a bill that will reduce the state income tax over 4 years beginning in 2023. Supporters say the significant tax cut could spur economic growth and attract new residents to Mississippi, which was only one of three states that actually lost population during the census decade. Opponents, though, are saying the income tax is going to mean less money for schools, healthcare, roads, other services, hurting Mississippi's poor and working class. Okay. So here's the deal. Starting next year, apparently the 4% income tax bracket is going to be eliminated. The following 3 years, the 5% bracket will be reduced to 4%. And after the first year, the tax-free income levels will be $18,300 for a single person, $36,000 for a married couple. I mean, basically, they're abolishing income tax for a large section of the populace and reducing it for others. Even though income tax accounts for about 34% of their state revenue, they've decided that in order to spur growth, they're going to go cut taxes. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I see it, Copper. Yep, you're right. Nice. Very nice. All right, but then you got other people out there that just want to apologize constantly and excuse certain things. Now, you're seeing, you and I are both seeing, I mean, it doesn't matter. If you're buying toilet paper, you're seeing increase in prices. If you're buying gas at the pump, this morning I put, you know, $35 of gas in my truck to drive to a meeting in Birmingham, and that amounted to 9 gallons, 9.02, I think. Gee, Manetti. All right. Well, Jennifer Rubin, according to Blaze.com, storyline just a couple of days ago, Jennifer Rubin, who is a Washington Post columnist, extremely liberal, loves the Biden administration. Jennifer Rubin's getting hammered for an article that she wrote. Literally, what she said was, I mean, this is, okay. Anyway, here's what she said. In her column, she argued that if inflation were not considered, that Biden's economic performance would be unmatched. Oh, if we didn't have to take into account that the economy sucks, then the economy would be great. That's basically what it boils down to. You know, you can imagine some of the responses that are happening. Things like a guy named Drew Holden panned it and says, if the economy weren't doing badly, it would be really good. Okay. Ben Shapiro says, if it weren't for IQ points, you would be Einstein. Another one, a guy named Andrew Follett of the Club for Growth, he responded on Twitter and says, if it weren't for the assassination of her husband, Mary Todd Lincoln would have enjoyed the play. Basically, you cannot say the economy's doing great if you don't consider inflation. I'm sorry, Jennifer Rubin. The economy is impacted by inflation. All right. But here's some things that are happening. What? Grab the mic, Copper. What's your point?
Your health would be great if you didn't have cancer.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? If I didn't feel terrible, I'd feel really good. Just doing everything they can to excuse Biden for destroying the economy. What's interesting, though, is to watch what Democrats are doing and, truthfully, sometimes to watch what even the private sector is doing. So I found a story on Daily Wire. So this is not meant to be a plug for a certain restaurant, but nonetheless, I will name them Bojangles. I didn't realize, by the way, that Bojangles is regional. It's pretty much a southeastern, or southern fast food company. Daily Wire reports, as of a couple days ago, that because of what's happening in the economy, that here's the headline. Popular southern fast food chain is giving away $1 million in gas cards amid sky-high prices. How about that? So as a marketing ploy, not a bad one, by the way, as a marketing ploy, Bojangles, you know, the chain of fried chicken restaurants that are throughout the South, apparently, is giving customers who buy a family meal a $10 gift card to help them offset record high fuel costs. In other words, you drove over here, you bought a family meal. Here, we want to give you something. You can go buy gas for your car. But what I really love was the statements they issued with it. One of their officials at Bojangles said, let us fuel your day in more ways than one. We're giving away $1 million in gas cards with select family meal purchases. Come on by for a $10 gas card, and it talks about it. But then it says, where's that spot here? And it says, Southerners are known for being friendly neighbors. So as a Southern brand, it's in our DNA. We want to help customers who are feeling the pain of soaring gas prices. You see, folks, the Biden administration can ignore all this or pretend that it's because of something else, or even for that matter, use their friends in the mainstream media to try and say things, ridiculous things like, if it weren't for inflation, you know, we wouldn't have any problems. It'd be a good economy then. But the truth of the matter is, the private sector notices it too. The cost of things is going up exponentially. Well, like even gas prices. So I had this article, I got it off the New Yorker. I mentioned it briefly at the end of a segment last week, and the more I looked at it, the more I thought, I need to spend more time on that particular article because it's too good. This story from the New Yorker, dated March 28th, so it's only, what, a little over a week, is titled, How Should Democrats Respond to Rising Inflation and High Gas Prices? Okay, how should they? Well, this is an apologist article, by the way. This is one that says, you know, things aren't really that bad if you get down to it. This is another Jennifer Rubin-style article. Talking about how, you know, one hopeful finding for the White House is the majority of Americans do seem willing to accept high rising energy costs. Oh, no, not really. They just have no choice because they have to get to work or school. Others say, evidently, large numbers of Americans recognize that with the coronavirus pandemic and the war in Ukraine, we're living through extraordinary times, and that's why we're willing to make sacrifices. Shut up. But then you get down to certain things like, what are their answers? What are some of the top Democrats proposing, if you will? Well, one of them is a windfall tax on energy companies, because they are of the belief, y'all, that there's gouging going on. It's all gouging. It's all gouging. No, it's called supply and demand. I don't have a degree in economics, but I can tell you what supply and demand is. When demand is up and supply is down, guess what? Prices are higher. When the cost of fuel is up, it raises the cost of everything else it takes to ship from farm to market or market to, you know, your house. It takes more to basically create fertilizer, to fertilize the fields and the gas for the tractors to grow the corn and whatever. All said and done, windfall tax on energy companies is a bad idea. Guess who's going to pass it on? Guess who's going to wind up paying for it? Me and you. How about Bernie Sanders? According to the article, he says it would be necessary to target any big corporation that has what he calls supranormal profits. Okay, who's going to come check those out? That would be your IRS, I guess. All said and done, this is an awful set of ideas. They want to find somebody to blame besides their policies. How about you deregulate a little bit? How about you make life easier? Yeah, wouldn't that be a novel idea? Well, then we have what Newt Gingrich calls in his article or his op-ed. I got it off his website, Gingrich 360. Just a few days ago, he calls it Biden's impossible tax increase. He says the Biden budget plan is a disaster. We do not have a giant bureaucratic corrupt government. There are alternative government budget plans that can lead to lower taxes, lower interest rates, and more jobs and much less inflation. And he points out the fact that one of the things that Biden is doing, and I had a conversation with my son about this the other day. You know, my son, you know, he and his wife doing great. They're doing better than, you know, Charlene and I were doing at their age financially. And they're trying to make sure they're planning ahead for retirement and they're doing those things. And he was talking about, you know, whether or not there's going to be what I told him was called a wealth appreciation tax. That is what's being proposed right now. Can you imagine this? What does it do to the economy if basically, you know, you look at someone and say, your house appears to have appreciated somewhat in value. We're going to tax you on that excess, but I haven't sold my house. It doesn't matter. It's worth more to you now, so we're going to tax you on that extra value. Or what about the fact that they want to look at your portfolio and say, you've been doing a good job of preparing for your retirement, setting aside funds, and look at those stocks. They appear to have gone up. We're going to tax you on the increased appreciation and value of your stocks. But I haven't cashed them in yet. I haven't spent that. I don't have that money available to me. It doesn't matter. We think it's appreciated. We're going to have a wealth appreciation tax. This is one of their chief solutions. How about this? If you have a farm and the value of the land and the equipment and the buildings appreciated, you'd pay a tax on that appreciation. If you had a privately held company and that privately held company increased in value, but you have not sold it, you have not experienced any gains per se, but it appreciates in value, they want to tax it. Well, there's three big problems with that, and I'm going to get into those after the break. There's three big problems when Bidenomics tries to reach into the state of Alabama and decide whether or not you should be taxed on things you've never even had in your wallet. Three big problems. Stay tuned. You're going to want to hear more about how that comes to play. Biden's impossible tax increase. Oh, Lord, rescue us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So there's a lot of things happening right now in the Bidenomics economy, a lot of things that are impacting Alabama. if I can get to it in a minute, I've got a story here that I'll talk to you about that, you know, just talks about the fact that there's, despite disruptions, we are showing strong economic development as a state, despite the fact that the unions are determined to try and unionize things like the Bessemer Amazon plant. Alabama's unemployment rate still remains in a strong position. Not so always across the nation. One of the things that's being proposed right now, I said right before the break, is the fact that President Biden made a recent budget proposal that includes a what's known as a wealth appreciation tax. Basically, it's a tax that says if you have investments, if you have property, if you have a business that has appreciated in value, even though you've never cash that in, so to speak. You've never tried to sell it to experience the gains. You've never tried to draw down on those investments. They're out there. They're not available to you at this point. You've never drawn them down. They want to tax you on what they call the appreciation and value. You know, you're supposed to be taxed on things potentially taxed on things that you actually have the benefit of. If you've done a great job setting aside for retirement and trying to, you know, increase your portfolio, you've never spent a dime of it except to put it away. Well, I got news. That's not a gain to you at this point. It's just something you've hedged against your future with. So what are the problems, according to Newt Gingrich, what are the problems with this kind of wealth tax? Well, you can imagine there's lots of problems. First of all, if you're anti-tax, it's a problem to begin with. But the first thing he points out is, so who is it that's going to measure your assets every year? Oh, that's right. Who figures out whether you're reporting enough of the appreciation? Are we going to have IRS agents poring over all our assets, including our homes, and then telling us what they think it's worth? That is invasion of privacy. That is absolutely not what should be happening. Number two on his list of three big problems. He says if you don't have enough income to pay the wealth tax they're trying to put on you, then what are they going to do? Because you've never cashed it in, are you going to have to then cash in the investments to pay the tax on what was sitting in your portfolio that you've never had the ability to use? So basically they're drawing you down on your retirement. What is it that they're going to do if they decide you've appreciated in value in some way? Are they going to make you sell the house to pay the balance on the appreciated value of the property? And then thirdly, he says, what about the years when you lose wealth? Huh, that's a good thought. Imagine the mess, he says, after the 2008-2009 financial crisis when the price of housing dropped dramatically and suddenly you went from having a house that was appreciating in value to depreciating in value. What are they going to do then? Are they going to refund you money? Or do they only just tax you, you know, when things are good, but they're not going to give you any credit when things go bad? Well, this is the way Democrats think. This is a problem, by the way. This is not good for America. Let me tell you what's going to wind up happening. The poor and the middle class are going to get stuck. The poor are going to remain poor. The middle class is where they're going to come next, because what's going to happen is the upper class that they believe are not paying their fair share have the means and the ability to then move their assets. They're going to go ahead and say, you know what? If they're going to start taxing me on my portfolio, I'm moving it offshore. If they're going to start taxing me on things next year in the market that I've not even had a chance to spend yet, I'm cashing out. I'm getting out of the market. I'm going to divest myself of my stocks. I'm going to go buy gold and put it in a box. And that's what's going to wind up happening. It's going to crush market economy. It's going to wind up having a dilatory effect on the ability of people to consider saving for the future or buying property from that. Why would you buy a house as that great investment? You know, even Dave Ramsey said the investment in property is the only good debt out there. Why would you want to go buy the house and run the risk of having to pay increased taxes for simply doing what you wanted to do in terms of owning property? You know what? Just go rent. I'll just rent an apartment. I'll just forget that. You know, things are looking good in my community and the housing market's up and it's a seller's market and prices are high, but I'm getting taxed by Biden, so I'm just going to live in an apartment. And then you have a glut of properties on the market that people don't want to buy at that point. It's just, I just wonder who's advising them. And I imagine sometimes that these conversations in Bidenomics, when they sit behind closed doors, start with, how do we get more money? That's what it starts with. It doesn't start with, how can we grow the economy and benefit the average citizen? Apparently not. It starts with things like, we got to have more money. We got to spend more. How do we get more money? They start looking away around for creative ways, and apparently this is one. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll pause there. Coming back, one of my favorite times every single week, Copper's Corner. She has her moment. We'll hear what she has to say on something in the news right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.